Well, we're on this thing about being great, finding significance, not later, but today. And this is what God has for us. Now, there's different things of being great in, right? For instance, I'll let you in on something. I'm trying to become a greater cook, which is quite a step. Ask my wife. So the reality of it is, and so what I've gotten to, it's like we all have this thing of wanting to do something better, right? To advance, to be a little above average, right? So I've decided I'm going to be better above average, not in all food, just in eggs. So eggs, I've decided I don't like cereal. I'm sick of cereal. I need eggs, and my goal is they have to taste better than a restaurant. And I have to be able to do them in 12 minutes because my cereal only takes me 12 minutes. And I have to get the coffee at exactly the same time. And I got to clean everything up with a minimal number of utensils. So I've been working on this, and I've gotten to a point of almost greatness in this area, right? Now, the greatness is this kind of spot of how you define it, right? What do you mean by great? A great egg maker, a great CEO, a great sports player? And as we talked about last week, often we look for greatness. We realize that we think it's what we have and what we accomplish. We find that as being our culture. So in our culture, you have to understand, there's a real understanding of the definition of what greatness is that we're told by all advertisers and our culture to strive towards, and it kind of does pay off. People look at you with, you're a little greater than I am. And what we think about those things are in our world is we often see greatness as a place of what you have. You have more, in our culture, you're more significant, right? If you have less, you're less significant. And so we don't watch shows about people with small houses. We watch shows about people with big houses and lots of money and all that, right? So we have an understanding of that. We look at the place of looks. This is always a struggle for me. I just have to say, hey, God gave me these looks. I know they're amazing, but it's God's gift, right? So we have, if you're better looking, or if you're handsome, you actually have more significance in our world. You'll do better, right? That's the way our world judges things. If you're in a place of power, if you're the manager, you're more significant than the person you're managing, right? If you're the CEO, you're more significant than the others in the company. If you have personalities and gifts and skills and talents and all those abilities, we often, if we have those, if you have a stronger gifting in those different areas, more talent, smarter than someone else, guess what? You're more significant in our culture. And then you're at this place of uniqueness, right? This place of, if you're more unique in our culture, you stand out, you're more significant. Or if you're more popular, or if you have fame. And the thing about this I want you to understand is many of the things that God has given us, they're gifts from God. It's not wrong to be able to do well with your finances. It's not wrong to be an amazing manager. It's great. It's your gifting, right? And so if you have lots of money, right, and you have been given a lot, well, use it for the sake of blessing God, right? That's what you're looking for. It's stewardship. And so there's nothing wrong with that. If you're good-looking like me, you just say, I'm good-looking in the name of Jesus, right? So the reality of it is it's a matter of not taking on yourself, but saying, these are gifts I've been given. If I have power position, use it for the glory of God. If you have personalities and skills, use it as a place to bless people. If you have uniqueness, be who you are. Not be afraid of that. And if you have popularity and fame, use it for good, right? Those are not bad things. They're things we should steward well. We have, just like in my eggs, we have satisfaction in it, right? There's nothing wrong with having satisfaction in it. It's something you do well. But what you need to understand is you will not find true significance to these things. You will not find true significance. You can have a person who's a multimillionaire with everything, done everything, invented everything, is good looking, and they can find themselves tremendously empty because it has nothing. It's a lie. It's a lie. If you do these things, you're going to feel significant. And what we have in our culture is people who are in places of feeling deeply insignificant. We have suicide rates going crazy, anxiety rates. We have it's futile what life is, because all those things that are promised to bring those things, we either strive after and feel behind them, we feel like we can't get there, or we've even reached some of them and realize there's no significance when we reach them. Right, and so as we've talked about this last week, we talked about when Jesus and the disciples, they were on the right track, right? They were actually wanting to be significant towards God, right? They wanted to be significant in His kingdom. But even in that, we can get mixed up on what that means. I think the Pharisees are a perfect example, you know. They did all those things, but yet they missed the mark because they didn't understand what true significance was. And so we're going to be talking about that. And today we're going to be talking about this place of pursuing greatness. We talked about before about this is what significant isn't. And we talked about when the disciples are discussing it this one time, Jesus pulled a child and said, if you want to be significant, become like this child, you know, and open your heart wide to me and trust me. This is where it all starts from. And so we're going to continue on that, but we're going to talk a little about of more of how do you pursue it? How do you pursue greatness? You know, because when Jesus was on this earth, he talked about greatness quite a bit. And and now the thing about it, though, is how he talked about it was so different than how we hear about it in our life. And the main thing is that if you ask someone in our culture, you know, how do you find the path to true greatness, they're going to give you pretty much this answer. And the answer is believe and trust yourself. And you'll hear it in different forms. You'll hear it in extreme levels where people will say, after they've won the Olympics or whatever, and they interview them and say, I want to tell all the small children that if you believe it, you can become this. So we have this belief that self is so powerful that if we believe in self to this degree, it'll empower us to become Olympic stars, President of the United States, and whatever that is, right? You just will it, and self will give you the power. Now, I know many people, I don't think that, but they think this. You know, believe and trust in yourself, and you can be the best you can be. Now, what you have to understand is both of those are lies. I'm not talking about it's good to have self-esteem, it's good to steward what God's given you, but when it's talking about true significance, to being great, self does not have the power to do that, right? And the best you can have is you can look a little better and have other people cheering you on, but it's not significance. And so understanding that, you know, we have to realize this is the same thing that the Pharisees dealt with because they were people who seemed like they did everything right, but they had what as their driving force? Self. They tried to do all the things that the law said with the power of self. And Jesus said, you're whitewashed tombs. You missed significance. In fact, you're hurting the people who are trying to find significance because of the way you're believing in self to accomplish only what God can do. Now, this is not unusual. This is really what is natural to our flesh. In fact, you know, there are lots of books. Now, this is one search. I literally went through just one search, rolled down, and just hit some pages. Didn't have to search, didn't have to read. And I just started out putting just the pictures up because it was kind of broad variety of books that talk about self being the answer. But I thought, I'm going to read their bios. So I'm going to read you a few bios. You can take these down. Some of you are already ordering them on Amazon because they look so exciting. Okay, Drive Your Destiny. Feel dissatisfied with your current path in life? Does destiny seem to be some mundane existence governed by circumstances beyond your control? Want to be the master of your own life, but not sure how? This is your book. All right? This one is my favorite. Well, I think my last favorite, but this is a good one too. This one here, you could save the time on this sermon and just get this book, and in 15 minutes, how to change your life in the next 15 minutes. Here, you ready? I'm going to give you a little bit about what it's going to tell you about. Are you feeling stuck, frustrated, or dissatisfied? Ever wonder why that ugly, talentless acquaintance is so successful? Or that no good for any job neighbor earns more money than you? I didn't add anything to these for humor. They're humorous on their self. And why have you started and stopped that exercise program, never getting the rhythm of life? Here you are trying everything you can possibly can, and you aren't moving even an inch towards your goals, and you feel frustrated that others are able to reach their dreams so easily. Why? You ready? It is due to self-belief. How about this one? This is an interesting, I won't read the bio on this. This is basically the theory is, which I thought was just unique, I thought I'd bring it in here, is your greatness means you give away every part of yourself to right at the point you die, and then you're empty, and you go to the grave empty. So the idea is to be excellent, to be remarkable, exceptional, awesome, and then be empty when you die. So that's hopeful. So, but this one is a little bit more normal. Unlock your hidden powers. This book will enable you to unlock your hidden powers in order to go over big and get on top the ladder in this life. This life-giving masterpiece will inspire you to succeed fully and to get you loaded with courage of your convictions and go ahead of the game and streets ahead of others. Wouldn't you rather be the most important person where you live and become extremely successful? It is time to hit the mark and leave your mark. Right? Now, for the award in creativity, this is it. Level up your life. This book, the past 5 years, Steve Kamm transferred himself from a wannabe daydreamer into a real-life superhero and actually turned his life into a giant video game. In Level Up Your Life, you'll meet people from all walks of life who have created superhero versions of themselves and live adventurous and happy. Within this guide, you'll follow their footsteps and learn exactly how to be the hero in your own story, creating an alter ego with real superpowers. I'd order that one. All right. Now, as you look at that, is what you find is you it is a spot is now many of you may not be wondering about that lazy, no good job person that can't keep a job that has more money than you are. That maybe wasn't your thought this morning, or you didn't really want to take control of your life. That's why you're here. You tried taking control of your life and it didn't work, and you decided Jesus is the answer, and you changed that, right? So hopefully we have some concepts of understanding that, you know, this is really not true. And the idea of believing in self and making yourself the superhero in your own story that you create is, that's what brought you a lot of pain before, right? So many of you know that. But what you can understand, though, there still is, we can joke about those and put in categories, but I'm telling you, there is a pressure to believe self has this power, to believe with my determination I can become this person like Jesus. By my determination I can do the things of the kingdom that God wants me to do, and I can become, have these superpowers on my own. And then we have it all mixed in oftentimes with other stuff that's going on, and we're in this battle of in culture how it affects us. And as we look at this, is that your true greatness is just this. It's not unlocked through self and making yourself a superhero in your own story. True greatness is unlocked by your connection to God and loving others and joining into God's story. And it's not the other. It is simply, the thing about this teaching and this whole series is I wanted it to be really kind of in-depth, and I kept thinking there'll be all these amazing angles on how to be great. Pretty much one angle. Become a child and give your life away to others. Right? And it's all the way through Scripture. And the thing about it, though, is what we have to understand is this desire you have to be great is from God. Everyone in this room has a desire to be great in the right sense from your, I mean, you probably have maybe multiple motives, but it's from God. It's a place that God wants you to know that you are truly significant, and he wants you to understand that. But the only way you can understand it is when you come to him and give yourself over to him. Then he can show it to you. But that desire you have is not ungodly. In fact, when he was arguing with his disciples and all these multiple times where they're in this discussion, he never said, oh, quit thinking about being great in the kingdom. He says, I'll show you how to be great in the kingdom. So it's a right desire from God that the enemy tries to put counterfeits in. And especially in the religious settings, we try to start taking the things of God and we can twist them into how the Pharisees saw, the religious leaders did. And Jesus, you know why Jesus is so mad at the Pharisees all the time? Because they were going the wrong way. They were taking people away from God with all this religious, self-driven, you know, way that they saw themselves. They were raising themselves up. And he's saying, if you're teaching people to raise yourself up, that is not how you find greatness. All right, so, you know, as we look through these different books, this in Ephesians, it talks about, there's so much that talks about the the significance that you have in Christ. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete in all the fullness and the power that comes from God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. My grace, all, he's talking about Jesus' grace, he says, my grace, all you need. My power works best in weakness. So I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. What is so clear in Scripture is God wants to make us significant through the power of Christ. It can, and when we get a hold of that, our greatness is not just a little great or slightly above average. It's beyond what we can possibly even make up in our mind. Our significance is greater than we can possibly even comprehend or even imagine. And so as you think about that, this is why when the Pharisees were always in the spot, we said, you guys are ruining it. You're running around with your flowing robes and praying on the street so everybody can see you and showing off all your works. You're raising yourself up. And he says, don't be like that. Because see, if you really think about it, what greatness, true greatness is, I want to be righteous. Now that's a word that we often don't understand, but in this place, I want to be a person that is like God, that can help people. I want those characteristics in me. I want to not be controlled by sin. I want to experience that ability to be Christ-like. That's what greatness is. And what does it say about righteousness? Seek first your righteousness? No, seek first his righteousness. That's where it comes from. And the way we get to his righteousness is not by doing and doing, it's by coming to him as a child and depending on him and his power that he's done for us. Now, Christ-likeness is, it's interesting because if you think about that, we think of Christ-likeness and often I think, oh, I'd love to do the miracles and I'd love to do that and I'd like to feed about 4,000 people with one shot. That sounds kind of fun. I'd like to be like that, or I'd like to, maybe even the characteristics of Christ and his loving and compassion and love and all that. But really, quite honestly, when you think about Christ-likeness, you realize that he had a way of approaching life that made him great. Do you understand? Jesus' greatness came in the same way our greatness comes. Now, he was the Son of God, but we see in Philippians that he let down he didn't grab a hold of his divinity. He did it by obedience and connection to his Father, by being a child before his Father and just saying, what do I need to do, Father? To greater and greater degrees of dependence, even to the cross, right? And when he did that, right, he did it in a way that as he did that, it looked bad to everybody else. He just kept, he got killed. He got mocked, he got beaten, he got tortured, he got, and yet, what happened? God's greatness, his influence, his significance, right? And what Jesus says is, if you want to, that's why he's here on earth. He says, if you want to learn how to live a life that continues to increase in significance, you have to do it the way I've done it. And so when you look at that, you understand how that looks. Now, it's interesting. So, at the Lord's Supper, the last supper, the Passover that Jesus had, pretty important deal, right? It's your last time with your closest people you've been pouring into for years. And what's interesting, have you ever thought about the content of the Last Supper? There's a talk about Judas betraying him, which freaked everybody out. There's a spot where he explains the blood and wine and those things. But it was a long haul. But the content that we see emphasized in that, other than those things, is what took place in this story. There's this argument that happened. We don't think about that. The Last Supper, this is their time to be together. And there's an argument that breaks out among them. It says, and this is during the Last Supper, it says, and they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. They're still after this, man. They've had other times. They're just still thinking this. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord over their people, yet they're called friends of the people. But among you, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. And he goes, who is more important, The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course. In the natural realm, that's exactly who's most important. They're greater, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. So that's the content of the Lord's. I mean, of all things that God could use during that time, this is what he uses to emphasize the point for preparing them for how to live. And the second thing he does is something that we remember as well, right? Jesus, this is the Lord's Supper. He says, Jesus knew that his Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he knew his identity. He was insecure about who he was. He knew who he was. And so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured the water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. And then Peter objected. He got him to calm down. And he says, after washing his feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord. And that is right, because that is who I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done, has been done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their masters, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Now, this is the content of the Lord's Supper. This is the sermon. And the sermon is, if you want to be like me, you have to be like me. You're no greater than me. This is the way I did it, and this is the way you need to do it. The way I did it, the way I became significant, is not by raising myself up. How I became significant is by lowering myself to the lowest place and loving every person and being fully dependent on the Father for the power to do that. As you think about that, how that would feel like to have Jesus washing your feet and saying, you get this? I love it. He says, do you understand what I just did? You have to remember this. And I find myself in a place, as I look at that, I'm in this place where I think, wow, it just looks different in the kingdom the way we see. It's so different the way God's seeing things. In fact, Jesus, another time when they're arguing about who's the greatest, he closed up by saying this. He says, many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important will now be the greatest then. We have to realize that. Man, that's rattling to me. Because the way God looks at what's significant is so different. And the way he looks at what is following him is so different than sometimes how I see it. And so, how many of you guys have ever had this embarrassing experience when you turn down the street and you're going the wrong way on a one-way? Have you guys ever had that feeling? Oh, you don't have to admit it, but I mean, I've had that happen. And it's this strange feeling because maybe in the car, but he's rooting you on, but there's something not right. Nothing's going well, right? There's people who are honking, and it's just hard to get. And you're always thinking, you're going the wrong way. It's dangerous. I'll tell you what. The way we see greatness, it's not just a slightly detour in a different street. It is when we go that way, when we believe self is our power, and we believe greatness is the way people respond to us, we are going the wrong way. And we're experiencing the effects of that. So Jesus is saying, you've got to understand, the reason things don't go well is you're going the wrong way. I know it sounds crazy, because you're convinced somehow you're going the right way. I know it sounds crazy, but you've got to turn around. It has to be a different way. You've got to quit raising yourself up. I know you want to. I know everything tells you you should. I know you try to take all these things you have and try to find. That's not the right way. The right way is you humble yourself as a child in the kingdom of God, to enter it and to stay in it. And you grow in greater dependence on God and his power, and you have a mission. And your mission is to be a servant and love everybody God puts in front of you, even those who hate you. Do you understand? He was washing the feet of Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. When he's on the cross, people are spitting at him, gambling clothes, and what's he doing? He's serving them. He's serving the thieves inside of him. He says, this is how it works. And it did. He was raised from the dead. He was in the greatest place ever after that, right? And in that, and his influence was huge. And the same is true for us. Now, when I started this series, I really was at a spot in which that I really thought it was going to be complex, and it is. The best way to describe it is, I love this truth right now. I'm at a good spot because it simplifies my life. I have so many things that I know, does God want me to do this? God want me to do this? God want me to do this? I'm not sure if that God, is that God, not God? You know, I've mixed, all my greatness is mixed up with other stuff, my own motives. And this somehow is so clear and simple. The best way to describe it, it's the center road that everything forks off of or comes around. It's the center road. It doesn't mean, like right now, I want to be a good steward of my role as pastor, and I want to honor God in how I do lead this church and how I'm in leadership, and, you know, and I'm glad you, I think you like that, right? That's good, right? But I'm telling you, what I'm saying is, that's not my center road. And it can become my center road because it's what I think about all the time. My center road is, am I being a child before God and depending on him to greater and greater degrees? And am I growing in my love for every human being that I interact with and I serve them? And I serve them not out of I must do this or out of myself, but I serve them because God's power is becoming real in me. Everything else flows from that. That's why it's love God with all your heart, love others. And this is really showing you what that means. It's not like kind of love, put up with. No, it's saying, it goes to this crazy level and saying, no, you must become the servant. You must truly love people even who don't respond to you. But you don't do it in your self-power, you do it in God's power. And so, and this is, and here's what Jesus was saying at the Lord's, at the Last Supper. He's saying, you have to do it the way I did it. There's another way. I showed you how to do it. The reason I came and made myself a human and showed you how to live it like this way. I didn't. I did it. Now you have to do it. The master is you're I'm the teacher, right? And I'm saying there's no other option for me or for you. And so in this spot, it can be overwhelming, but there's something also so freeing about this. Because I don't know about you, I get so many other things. I remember when I was first a Christian, I just wanted significance. And so I remember trying to outdo everybody by memorizing more verses. And I showed up everything. I served harder. I tried to be really get rid of my stuff in me, which is all good stuff, right? But you know what? This wasn't the center. The center of humbling myself before God and serving, being a servant to every person, you know? And the more that has become the center, the more everything starts making sense. The more, but it's something I'm pretty clear, you guys are pretty clear on that, right? To love people that way, you cannot possibly do it with yourself, is the power. And that's what God wants, because he wants us to, every time we try to love somebody, we go, man, I need more power. And God says, good, come to me like a child, and I'll keep showing you how that is. I want to show you how to do things that you couldn't do possibly. And so don't let this overwhelm you, but let it give you a central focus on what is the most important thing and how you find significance. It's not by raising yourself up. It's not grabbing on to all your gifting and saying, look at me, or desiring those things that you seem like they're out of reach for you and feeling frustrated. That's not how you find significance. Find significance, it levels the field. If you can do that, if you can just be a child before God and choose to serve others by the power of God, you'll start feeling, understanding this blessing that Paul talks about that he wanted us to experience. So, here's your challenge. The worship team can come up. this week, here's a starting point, because God never throws us off a cliff on these kind of things. He teaches us. He gets us to understand that we take a step towards this. And what he wants us to do, I think, is just to start trying this. Start like saying, okay, what's my order today? Well, I know this is the central line, is to humble myself as a child and to love the people in a way that I can't possibly by myself, no matter who they are. So here's what I'd do. Look for those in your path whose jobs involve serving you, okay? And then, or those by world standards are less significant than you, right? Not that that's true, but by world standards it's true, right? If that person is, that person who serves you your fast food who's trying to just survive, in the world, they're less significant than you. They're not at all. And this is why those are the people God points out to us. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask God to say, show me how I can become a servant to this person. Or maybe that person who is really not nice to you. Or hates you. Or that boss that drives you crazy. Or that coworker that drives you crazy. You say, I want to learn how to do this because I'm certain, I'm clear on this one, I don't have the power to do it myself, but show me how to do this, so I'm going to submit myself to you as a child, and I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to serve them, and then see what happens, all right? Why don't you stand?